Hello, this is Karen Fresco with the News Gazette, dated Wednesday, December 18, 2019. We begin today's reading with the article headlined, Office of the Treasurer, Backlog Forces Hand of County, Accounting Firm Hired, Search for a Deputy Treasurer to Begin, by Deborah Pressey, Urbana. Champaign County Executive Darlene Klopel has hired an outside accounting firm to help the county treasurer's office get caught up on a backlog of work. Klopel said she's using money from her own office's budget this month to hire the firm of Clifton Larson Allen to reconcile all 2019 monthly bank statements. County bank account statements need to be reconciled by the end of the year, she said. It became really clear that we needed to get the accounts reconciled, Klopel said. County Treasurer Lowell Prussing said she's been without a chief deputy in her office for months, so we have to catch up. Her chief deputy was on family leave and now isn't returning, Prussing said. If you lose a key person for 3 months, guess what? You get behind, she said. The county treasurer has multiple responsibilities beyond sending out annual property tax bills and collecting the payments. The treasurer also is responsible for depositing, investing, and disbursing all funds for the county. According to a memo Klopel sent to the county board earlier this month, work delays in the treasurer's office have been noted since mid-year. For example, she said, the deputy director of finance in the county executive's office wasn't receiving enough information to prepare monthly financial reports and begin the budgeting process for 2020, and the county auditor's office was noticing delays with posting revenues. Hiring the CPA this month to reconcile bank statements was the latest of several steps that have been taken to help the treasurer's office move forward, according to Klopel. Among other steps have been hiring part-time temporary staff to help complete the tax collection and distributions. Training also has been provided by the County Supervisor of Assessments, County Auditor, the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission's fiscal staff, and the Information Technology Department. In September, the auditor obtained access to view county bank accounts to help the treasurer track wire transfer and electronic deposits, Klopel's memo said. The auditor's office provided training to the treasurer's office on banking transactions, credit card payments, cash receipts, and other electronic banking matters. The treasurer's office also hired part-time temporary staff in October to help complete items related to the RPC on grant reporting and property tax adjustments and penalties, according to Klopel. Prussell, who was elected county treasurer in 2018, said she's preparing to advertise for a new deputy treasurer. From the education beat, something new. Mother's Nature. Drawing on experiences, Sisters Hope idea catches on in Champaign-Urbana. By Julie Worth, Champaign. A love of the outdoors came naturally, you might say, for sisters Katie Peterson and Ellen Sothoff. Their dad, Brian Deal, is a landscape architecture professor at the University of Illinois. And their mom's father, Bruce Hannon, is an emeritus geology professor and a longtime environmental activist. They spent their childhood hiking in Allerton Park, helping their grandfather plant bur oaks, and playing outside all summer. Now they want to share their passion with a younger generation at a new nature school, a preschool and after-school program that will immerse children in nature, play and being outside, Sathoff said. That's how we were brought up, Sathoff said. It was just a big part of our childhood, a big part of what we want to pass on for our own kids and for other kids. Sprouts Art and Nature School will open in January in a remodeled 1924 house on a tree-filled lot at 1403 West Springfield Avenue, Champaign. An open house is scheduled for 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Thursday. Two women, who both hold U of I degrees in early childhood education, opened a child care service in Peterson's house in 2014. Sathoff was pregnant with her first child, and Peterson had taken some time off from teaching kindergarten at Southside Elementary School after having her third child. They saw the venture as a chance to raise their own children and still work in the field they loved. They've been developing a nature-based curriculum ever since, and now we've got the space to match, said Sathoff, mom to Freddie, 3, and Richie, 5. The curriculum features lessons on the nature of central Illinois, with units on bugs, trees, birds, and flowers. We believe in the importance of imagination, making connections, play, and authentic nature experiences over teacher-led direct academic instruction, said Peterson, who has three children, May 7, George 9, and Violet 10. Their husbands, Derek Peterson and Joe Sathoff, worked with Brian Deal to renovate the basement for the original preschool, and they are again the loving builders behind this place, Ellen Sathoff said Monday at the new Sprout School. Their mom, Claire Deal, who is the official substitute, she went back to college to get the remaining credit hours she needed. We couldn't do this without them, Sathoff said. Displayed around the new center are their students' nature-inspired works of art, watercolors of leaves, butterflies, and rain-streaked windows, a garland with caterpillars and other insects made out of colorful scrap materials, acrylic pendants with pine cones and evergreen cuttings inside. Most of the books tie into the nature theme, including the sisters' childhood favorite, the Caldecott Award winner, Roxa Boxen. The book is about children who build a magical community out of ordinary objects like pebbles, sticks, and boxes, and their imaginations. It's just such a good example, Sathoff said. Everything they need is already here. Outside, they set up a mud kitchen with an old sink for making mud pies. A shelving unit was filled with twigs and other natural objects that the children used to make up elaborate games. A path encircles the yard, leading to a butterfly garden popular with monarchs and a real garden that produced squash and watermelon this year. Most striking is a giant bird's nest with a metal frame built by the welding class at Central High School. It's designed for kids to climb inside and build their own nest with sticks and other materials. In the spirit of sustainability, the sisters have tried to repurpose as much as they can. The wood tables were crafted from the house's original framework. Outside, a table and chairs were built out of tree stumps. The deck had to be replaced, so the old lumber was used for a boardwalk. They chose the house in part because it's two blocks from Westview Elementary School, so they can walk to pick up their kids. It's not new construction. It's covered with trees, and it's a huge lot in town, which is so rare, Sathoff said. Sprouts will have a morning preschool, an extended day preschool, and an after-school program for school-aged children. It will have room for 12 preschoolers, ages 2 to 5, and 20 kids altogether. One of our goals is to build a community of people who believe in raising the next generation of environmentalists, Satoff said. All-female honor flight. Female vet hoping to meet more sisters in arms. Bloomington woman trying to get them registered for memorial with visit in works. By Anthony Zillis, Champaign. When Desert Storm veteran Jill Henry heard about an idea to put together Illinois' first all-female honor flight earlier this year, she was all in. The Bloomington woman has made it a mission of hers not only to tell people about the Women's Memorial at Arlington National Cemetery in Virginia, but also to get female veterans registered. This was a perfect opportunity to accomplish both objectives. I said, I'd like to get these women registered and teach them about their memorial before they get there, she said. The Women in Military Service for America Memorial, known more simply as the Women's Memorial, has operated since 1997. When it opened at Arlington's western entrance of Arlington in front of thousands of people. But in recent years, Henry has found that getting the word out about the memorial has been an uphill battle. I've had men come back from honor flights and say, I just got back and we didn't stop there. I didn't even know there was a women's memorial, she said. I'm like, I know. She's out to change that. One way she'd like to do that is by getting female veterans registered with the memorial. Only around 268,000 have done so, which is around 9% of the 3 million female veterans going back to the American Revolution. Women can register by going to womensmemorial.org. No date is set yet for the all-female flight, but Henry is already trying to get the word out to downstaters. Illinois will be the fifth state to hold such a flight, which Henry said is important because women generally don't go on typical honor flights. For whatever reasons, they haven't wanted to get on the flights with the men, she said. And I think, being a woman, it's because it's just not as much fun. Women have a camaraderie that's different from men's. For more information about registering, Henry said people can contact her at wimsa.amb.il1@gmail.com. That's spelled wimsamotherSA.a.mamsinmotherbeasinbaby.il1@gmail.com, or call the foundation at 703-533-1155. And as far as taking the flight, she said, it may be incumbent among those around local veterans to encourage them to accept the free trip, which will fill on a priority basis, starting with World War II veterans and working its way up to veterans of more recent wars. A lot of times it's family members saying, "Hey, Mom, don't you want to do this?" Henry said. When they say, "No, no," it's, "Yes, you do." I want to say, "Women, start your engines. We've got to do this." Londrigan weighs in, serious wrongdoing. In 13th District, a predictable split. By Ben Zichterman, Champaign. On the eve of a scheduled vote in the U.S. House, the Democrat who hopes to have Representative Rodney Davis's job a year from now came out in support of impeaching President Donald Trump. Serious times require thoughtful leadership, independent of partisan politics, said Democratic candidate Betsy Dirksen Londrigan, who is lost who lost by a slim margin to Davis, Republican of Taylorville, in last year's 13th District race. The testimony from military and foreign policy experts in the Trump administration has clearly shown serious wrongdoing by the president. Americans have the right to expect our president to hold our nation's interests above his personal political gain. I support and believe all members of Congress who have sworn an oath to uphold our Constitution should support these articles of impeachment to protect our democracy. Davis said last week that he would vote no, accusing his Democratic colleagues of moving forward with one of the fastest and only partisan impeachments in our nation's history. I will not vote to remove a duly elected president of either party or bar them from running without a legitimate independent investigation and proof of a crime, neither of which exist in this case, Davis added. Londrigan's Democratic primary opponent, Stephanie Smith of Urbana, called the process a spectacle, distracting us as our resources are being ripped away. I support it only as one of many necessary steps in dismantling the oppressive systems that allow abusers to reach such positions of power. Urbana School Board. Plan for two officers approved. They will be stationed full-time at middle and high schools. By Ben Zichterman, Urbana. The Urbana School Board approved an agreement with the city Tuesday night to install full-time resource officers at both the middle and high schools. The board voted 6-0 in favor of the agreement and rejected an amendment to conceal the officers' guns by a vote of 4-2. Board member Ruth Ann Fisher wasn't present. The board had voted 4-3 in November to approve the agreement, but the city council amended it earlier this month to add an annual review of the program, so the school board needed to vote on it again. Of the 23 residents who spoke at Tuesday's meeting, 14 expressed support, while the others had various concerns about a police presence in the schools. Police Chief Brian Serafin said he supports the annual review, but not concealing the officers' weapons. He said he wants officers to have access to all of their tools, while acknowledging the fear some have of guns, and said he hopes the modified uniform officers will wear will make them a little more approachable. Board member Peggy Patton, who proposed having the officers conceal their weapons, questioned why it was necessary for the guns to be displayed when officers haven't used them in the past 27 years, and that the program has been in place. It seems like we're sending a strong message that doesn't need to be sent, she said. The two officers will be an increase from the single part-time officer that's historically been in place at the high school, but the agreement will formalize a situation that's already somewhat in place this school year. After a fight in February at the high school resulted in several students being sent to jail and left one teacher hospitalized, Urbana police stationed an officer there 5 days a week. And this school year, the city added an officer to the middle school, according to Serafin. While the city has been covering most of the costs right now with the intergovernmental agreement, it would pay a one-time cost of $103,813, while the school district would pay $321,300 annually for the officers. Under the agreement, the officers will handle criminal matters but won't enforce school regulations. Also at Tuesday's meeting, Patton tried to get the board to reconsider its vote last month and instead have one officer between the two schools. She needed one of the four members who voted for the agreement last month to make the motion, but none did. High School Confidential, Kids Doing Good Things, Uni High. On Saturday night, Uni's Spring Initiative Club held a fundraising dinner at the Muslim American Society Community Center in Urbana. Spring Initiative is based in Clarksdale, Mississippi, and helps underprivileged families in the community by providing after-school care and homework help. An evening with Spring Initiative included dinner, musical performances from Uni students, and Uni's Madrigals, a presentation from leaders of the club, and the opportunity to hear from students involved in the program itself. Pictured are Uni Madrigals, back row left to right, Roshan Perry, Charlotte Ebel, Mariano Herrera, Zhao Han Sun, Alicia Ham, Sam Atkinson, Henry Laufenberg, Ivan Favila, Eliza Terziev, Nika Cooper, Anya Kaplan Harnett, Elizabeth Rienstra, Ethan Ashbrook, and Emily Lukes. Arcola. Student council members went caroling during their annual visit with the residents at Carriage Crossing Senior Living in Arcola. About 40 students, freshmen through seniors, made the trip to bring Christmas cheer. That article by Patty Rodriguez. Ameren, Illinois. Drop-in power delivery charge to lower bills. By Deborah Pressey, Collinsville. Ameren, Illinois plans to lower its power delivery charges a bit starting next year. The Illinois Commerce Commission approved an overall reduction of $7.05 million in Ameren's electric delivery services, the utility announced Tuesday. The reduction should save the typical residential power delivery customer about $1.13 a month, starting in January, the utility said. Monthly bills are projected to go down more for Ameren customers who buy both power delivery and supply from the utility. The delivery reduction and a previously announced 5% drop in the cost of electricity supply will lower those Ameren power bills next year by about 20% below the national average, according to Ameren. Most Champaign and Urbana residents aren't Ameren power supply customers. But Ameren does deliver power for those customers who are buying their electric power supply elsewhere. Both cities contract for bulk purchasing of electricity supply and for their residents and offer an opt-out option for those who want to shop around on their own. Most residential customers in Champaign and Urbana stick with the deals they get through municipal electric aggregation contracts, according to public works departments in both cities. Champaign contracts with Constellation New Energy, and supply rates under that contract are fixed through the July 2021 billing cycle. Urbana has a contract with Home Field Energy, for which rates are locked in through December 2020. The ICC Ameren Delivery Services order announced Tuesday marked the sixth delivery rate drop since 2011, when the Energy Infrastructure Modernization Act, or Smart Grid Bill, was passed. Ameren's delivery rates went up for the current year. The delivery rate increase for 2019 was projected to increase the power delivery charge for a typical resident customer by $4.50 a month. Today's ICC order provides the resources needed to continue building a cleaner, greener, more resilient grid while keeping customer rates in check, said Ameren Illinois Chairman and President Richard Mark. Better energy reliability is a critical factor that can drive economic development and job creation in communities across our territory. Crime update by Mary Schenck. Champagne man charged after alleged threats to ex, Urbana. A Champagne man who allegedly threatened a former girlfriend over the weekend has been charged with a number of felony offenses and ordered to wear a GPS monitoring device. Justin Brown, 25, who listed an address in the 2400 block of North Neal Street, was arraigned Monday for unlawful use of weapons by a felon, aggravated unlawful use of weapons, and stalking. He is being held on $75,000 bond. The charges stem from incidents that happened Friday night and early Saturday morning, according to Assistant State's Attorney Victoria Dedman. The woman told police that she used to be in a relationship with Brown and that on Friday he threw a bottle of cognac at the door of her apartment on North Neal Street. Then, early Saturday, he told her he was going to come back with a gun. When he returned to her apartment about 3:25 a.m., she called police. Even though she had not seen him with a weapon, she was getting text messages from other friends who said she needed to go outside or he would shoot through her door. Another man in the apartment with her went out to try to calm Brown. When police arrived, they found Brown sitting in a car in the parking lot of the North Neal Street complex with the other man who had been in the woman's apartment. In Brown's pockets, they found about an ounce of cannabis in 5 bags, and on the floor under the steering wheel, he had been in the driver's seat, they found a loaded 9mm pistol. They also found a partially consumed bottle of cognac in the car. Brown initially denied going to the woman's apartment, but later said he had seen her outside and asked to use her bathroom. He denied that the gun on the floorboard belonged to him and suggested that the man who came out of her apartment to talk with him must have put it there. Dedman said Brown has prior misdemeanor convictions for driving under revocation, resisting a peace officer, and aggravated unlawful use of weapons, and has a pending misdemeanor case for driving with a suspended license. He is due back in court January 28. 2004 incident. Chicago man gets 4 years for cocaine. Urbana. A Chicago man arrested in Champaign County 15 years ago for possessing a then-record amount of suspected ecstasy and cocaine has been sentenced to 4 years in prison after admitting he had the cocaine. In return for Neftali Centeno's guilty plea Monday to possession of less than 15 grams of cocaine, Assistant State's Attorney Scott Larson dismissed more serious charges of possession with intent to deliver about an ounce of cocaine and possession with intent to deliver 200 pills of ecstasy. Centeno, now 38, pleaded guilty Monday before Judge Rob Weber to possession of cocaine, admitting he had under 15 grams of it in his underwear on December 1, 2004, when he was arrested by the Champaign Police Department's Narcotics Unit, which was investigating the presence of so-called club drugs on the University of Illinois campus. After being charged in late 2004, Centeno came to court a few times for continuances, then failed to appear in court in late 2005, and his case remained unresolved for years. Centeno was given credit on his prison sentence for 295 days already served. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette, dated Wednesday, December 18, 2019. Please stay tuned.